I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
I fucked up my shoulder. I'm just going to put that out there because it's all I can think about.
You fucked up your shoulder?
I don't know how, but it hurts real bad, and I think I need a sling or something.
Yeah. That sucks. Yeah. How'd you do it?
Really not sure. It might have been surfing.
Oh, yeah. I just asked that.
It might have been surfing. It might have been just, I'm not sure, but it's, that's not great. I've been doing the cold and hot and ibuprofen thing. It's just not doing it.
It's good
pills. Have you hurt yourself at the gym ever?
No, I'm very safe.
Lucky duck.
No, I wear a vest so that everyone can see me.
Oh, good.
And I won't
good.
Get shot.
No one runs into you.
Yeah. It's a reflector vest, so that makes sure, you know, people are milling around, and I need to make sure that I am safe. And so because of that, I've never hurt my shoulder. No.
You've never seen anybody get hurt at the gym either? By just
the ones who don't wear reflector vests? Yeah, they get hurt all the time. They're getting shot by hunters.
Ain't those hunters in the middle of New York City.
Yeah. Welcome to Breaking Backwards, a podcast about Breaking Bad and our friend Meg Ryan watching it in reverse order and seeing if it's still a good piece of content. I'm Adam.
Also, our friend Adam Swartz watches it in reverse order as well.
I'm mostly a shepherd.
But you're still, it's not like you're not watching it.
That is true. I have been watching it. I think I mentioned that it's like my fifth watch through of the show, this one we're doing now.
I thought it was just your fourth.
Maybe it's my fourth. I don't know. I lost count. I rewatched it all really fast right before El Camino came out.
Is it just like a comfort food for you? Is it kind of like how I watch The Good Place? It's just like something you can put on and it just exists in the background. But I guess this is a show that demands attention, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I like everything about it. I'm glad they made another show. and that's really good, too.
Because I brought up The Good Place, I found The Good Place finale really unsatisfying, but you found this finale very satisfying, right?
Of Breaking Bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love the finale of Breaking Bad. I wish it didn't end with... Season 4, I think we talked about this, they weren't sure if they were going to get picked up again, so the Season 4 finale where Gus gets blown up is... was written to potentially be the series finale if they didn't get picked up. And so I kind of wish Gus would have made it through the final season and maybe been the big, or I wish, I like the Nazi stuff, but I do some part of me is like, they went to literal actual Nazis to be the one thing worse than Walt.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. I've actually had this conversation with other people ever since beginning this process about how it kind of felt like the Nazis of the final season were a little bit of a cop-out in terms mm-hmm. of, like, you have Gus, who's, like, such a dynamic villain that I don't even know you call him, like, the big bad guy because there's so many interesting traits about him. And it's just, you know, everybody's so complicated. And then it's just like, all right, I guess they're Nazis. Like,
I wish... I love the finale. It's great. I kind of wish Walt would be the main bad guy in the finale. And the only part I don't really like is I kind of don't like that he gets this hero moment where he saves Jesse, like the big mechanical gun.
Yeah.
They would never have done this, but I think it would have been cool if the second to last episode was the finale and it was him, like, it just closed with him dying alone in that cabin. I would have been like, what a lesson we all learned about where hubris can get you.
Like if something like Final Destination-y happens where like a giant icicle.
Saying like he just succumbs to his cancer, but sure. Yeah.
I would have liked that too.
If, like an icicle came through his cabin and like sliced his head off.
I mean, we spent a lot of time an episode ago discussing the like fire sequence. So.
Oh, that's true. We did fix that. No, we made that better. We punched
we did
it up.
Help. Yeah. All right. Anyhow, so this week's episode, You know, I think the reason why I'm being so bad at this podcast right now is because this is really the first time I've seen you face to face since our country went to hell in a handbasket.
Oh yeah, yeah, we're speaking to you post democracy after the storming of the Capitol, which already has its lengthy Wikipedia page.
Going
all through. It's very long. I don't know who threw that together. They did a very comprehensive job.
I will not contribute to that. Not that I often contributed to anything on Wikipedia, but I would not contribute to that because that will get you on a watch list immediately. If you know anything about that, they'll check.
It was mostly like compiling news reports and like reactions of different politicians and who and whatnot. But weird week. Really ate into our listenership. Had to happen on the day we dropped the podcast.
I avoided coming up with the meme because I thought there was no reason. There was no joke to be made that week, and if I tried, it would be trite, and everyone would be like, look at these people still trying to promote their podcast when this shit's going on.
You know, we're pretty hard on the president on this show. We put him through the ringer a lot, but he's never crossed a line more red than really eating into our listeners by inciting that mob on that day. On the day we drop our podcast.
That was bullshit.
It was hogwash. It was a pretty good episode we made.
I feel like that's going to be an episode that people will get to when our listenership really boosts up and people are like, these friends, I have to listen to them talk about bullshit.
What are they doing now? Oh, who knows?
Yeah, but they'll get to that episode and then they'll be like, oh man, the release date, that was right the day all the shit happened, you know?
That's the day my children learned about in school.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Good God.
Yeah, wow. Big day.
I didn't even really think about that. Like, my kids didn't really know about it when I picked them up, and I had to tell them about it because I wanted them to know.
I was in a work meeting, and I had, just because I was going to watch the whole proceedings all day anyway, and I had just had it on mute, and like, I didn't say anything in the meeting, but I was like, guys, something's happening on the TV.
I had to take a half hour phone call, so I started the proceedings, but at 11, I had to go into the other room, and so I had a phone call for a half hour, and I came out, and I still had the TV on, and I was like, so what are these little twats up to now? And then it was like, Capitol on lockdown, they're inside now. And I didn't even really know that the people had congregated outside, the terrorists had congregated outside the Capitol in the way that they did until after they had already gotten in there, so... Yeah. It kind of ruined me for a couple days because I was afraid, like, to be away from the news, like, at least for the rest of the day. And then that night, I have a pretty boaty, voters for Trump type area in near me. And they like causing
You said boaters, right?
Yeah, oh, okay. Boaters. Like, because I live by a marina and believe it or not, people with yachts love Trump. Yeah. And I went to the entrance of the marina on a walk. And I thought I saw like someone shoot off a flare, and I was like watching this red thing like arc really low. So I was like, oh no. Then I found out it exploded like a full blown 4th of July fireworks. People were shooting fireworks towards like the houses by the marina and the people walking around. And I went, this could be too much of a coincidence to not be related to Trump, right?
There's some shit in downtown LA. So,
yeah, it was some wild shit. So anyhow. Back to Breaking Bad.
Hopefully when you're listening to this, this is all just like, what? Oh, that did happen. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, this episode's called Mas.
Mas.
As in more in Spanish. And it's, you know, it's kind of a meandery. A lot of stuff happens, but none of it, you know, I don't know, it's pretty chill.
Yeah, I mean, so the episode opens, and I'm imagining this is a flashback to the first episode, and Jesse's,
he's got hair.
Yeah, he's got hair, so much hair. His facial hair is different, and he just seems like more of a fucking dweeb and a windbreaker, and he hands Jesse an envelope full of cash, and Jesse's like, yo, this isn't even 7,000. My man wants 8,500, and... You know, while it's like, oh, you're a drug dealer, make a deal. And then we just see Jesse be like, woo, and he drives off. And I didn't like how this opened because I thought his behavior at the strip club was bad. I didn't like that. I think
Jesse goes to a strip club. What didn't you like about it?
Well, I think in general, I find
they were being nice to the strippers.
They were, but he was like, oh, yeah, the whole time. And I don't like when men are like that about any woman, but particularly women where he can't even really touch them. He's definitely not going to fuck them. And he's just throwing around Walt's money because he absolutely scammed the dude. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was just kind of, it was just gross. And I don't know. Strip club seems gross to me.
Strip clubs are pretty icky. I've been to a handful. It's never been my choice. But even if it was, I'm not shaming people whose choice it is. But yeah, they're kind of like they're kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
The only time I've had fun at a strip club, I'll tell this story, is me and a sketch team I was on. It was in Portland, Oregon. We went to Devil's Point. In Portland, and they have something called stripperoke, and it's karaoke where you're on stage and the stripper dances to your song you're singing.
I mean,
that's wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah, and it was kind of an even mix of guys and girls because of that. And
also, it sounds like the most Portland way to have a strip club, period.
Yep.
The only way it could be more Portlandy is if everybody was on like those big hipster bicycles or something like that. Or there was like fancy donuts. Were there any donuts at the strip club?
Yeah, they had donuts from a small farm to table bakery right next door.
Oh shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that checks out. How quaint. When he leaves the strip club, a man who I come to know as Combo, who seems
this
is my first Combo viewing. Yeah.
Wait, real quick. I am so sorry. There was a server in that strip club who asked him if they wanted anything to drink.
Please.
And, you know, her name is Amanda Schofield, and she's been in this and one other thing that's been completed called Men of Mercy.
Was
back
she
to you, Meg.
Strip club server there, too?
I don't know, and I didn't know if I'd mention the other strippers, because I don't think they talk, so fuck them.
I thought we had a booby rule. If you show
oh, do
boobies.
We have a booby rule? If there's boobies, we say? Okay.
Because
well,
remember
then,
the episode where they shoot...
Right.
You know, I think it's called Hermanos.
There's two strippers credited. One of them has quite the career. Her name's Erin Elliott. Actually, Breaking Bad's her most recent credit this episode. But before that, she was in Across the Universe and Crash.
Okay.
Remember Crash?
Sure, yeah.
We talked about Crash last week. She was a stripper in that.
Was she really?
Yeah. And then the other ladies.
I don't know why you'd make that up, but yeah.
Yeah, the other lady's name is Portia Klein, and she's only been in this episode of television.
All right, cool.
Guys, Moss.
Moss, just
Moss.
Like
Moss.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Then we see them outside of the strip club, and Jesse's like, oh, shit, I spent all that money. I only got $1,400 left. I have to get an RV. What am I going to do? And it felt weird to see him have any sense of, like, commitment to... that like fulfilling
I
promise.
Have a theory watching it this time. I was like, was he just trying to, did he know Combo had the RV the whole time and was like trying to scam him out of it? Or probably not.
It doesn't seem like that to me. It doesn't. But I see what you're saying. Like, I guess I don't know how well they know each other. That's a thing mm-hmm. that is lost on me. So I don't even know if he's been to Combo's house and seen the RV. But all that being said, I don't know. He was wily enough to scam Walt out of his money. So mm-hmm. I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility that he'd be trying to scam Combo too.
Yeah, he just immediately goes to that strip club, and then as soon as they're done at like 6 in the morning, he's like, oh no, oh god, I got responsibilities, this old guy's gonna blackmail me.
Yeah, I guess I could see where that theory holds some water, for sure.
And I've never had that thought before, and I've seen this show 4 fucking times, so.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, yeah, Combo sells him an RV for $1,400. And which we later learn wasn't his to sell, you guys.
Yeah, just gave him a handful of cash and drove off.
Stole from his fucking mom.
His mommy.
Yeah. Have your kids ever stolen from you? This is a personal question to ask.
No, but my son did recently lie to me and I didn't like that.
Shit. I got caught lying to the teacher once, and I got detention. And then I came home, and I cried, and I cried, because I was so sad about my first detention.
That was something I was scared of for a long time, about getting a detention. I don't know that I ever actually got one. Sorry, this bag is annoying.
Oh, I got a bunch. I got that one in grade school, and then in high school, they just gave them out like candy. I got them all the time.
What would you get detention for?
Untucked shirt, having a headphone seriously? Hanging out of my pocket, shit like that, yeah.
Oh, that's the dumbest crap. So what would you have to do, just sit there?
Sit in the computer lab and do my homework.
That doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah, not that bad at all. I played games.
You get to play
Flash
homework?
Games. Yeah. That's pretty sick. Wasn't that bad at all.
Like, you have to do your homework anyways, and you're already there, so.
It wasn't that bad. It was called a jug, Justice Under God.
Was it really?
Yeah. Dowling Catholic High School in West Des Moines, Iowa. They called him Jugs. That's the dumbest shit you've ever heard. It's so stupid.
It is the dumbest shit I've ever heard. Wow.
Shame on you, high school, for calling your detentions that dumb fucking name.
Also, like, God gives a shit about your shirt being tucked in.
And also, if it was... I like that they called it a jug. That's fine. But then make it a fucking jug. Like, have it be like, I don't know, nuns with a ruler. Or crucifixion. Whatever. But like actual punishment. Not sitting in the computer lab. Jesus Christ. Get out of here.
Well, he did a bad thing by lying to his mama. But it seemed like, well, we'll get into it later. And Jesse peeled out. He left. And that is the end of the cold open, is it not?
Yeah, it's the end of the cold open. You nailed it. Then they play that Breaking Bad theme song.
You know it. You know the one they do. You know how they do.
So, yeah, and it's good to get into... So we've already seen some exposed skin in this episode, right?
Yes, because of all the boobies.
All the boobies, which were covered for cable television.
There are pasties, for sure.
There's pasties on them. But I think this is in the running for... We haven't really talked about this in a while. Horniest episode of
all time. It's a horny episode. It starts off horny, and it just... stays that horny the whole time. It's wild.
Because, like, even this, like, the way this Wikipedia describes this first scene is, after another round of sex, Skylar. Like, and then says more stuff. But after another round, damn.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that the end of the next episode ends with her fucking, then.
I forget, but we'll see.
I mean, you could understand why I'd guess that, at least.
Yeah.
Based on how that sounds.
100%.
Damn, Skylar is just getting it. Just getting
so
railed.
A lot of civil engineers laying pipe in this episode is what's happening. Skylar's in a bathroom with Ted. We see him walk out of the shower with a towel covering his junk.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up and smooches her, and he's like, "You like my warm floors?" And she's like, "Yeah, I like your warm scrotum."
Yeah, I like how it feels when your warm scrotum smacks into below where, like, my butt cheeks are. I don't know how long his balls are. So we get a sense that this is kind of a new deal, that they're fucking pretty recently, because she's got all this stuff on her that she brings with her to freshen up after they have sex in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, you could leave some of your sex stuff here if you want. Yep. So... you know, they're getting familiar with each other, to say the least.
Always a big step in the relationship. I remember getting a toothbrush for someone else's apartment one time. Weird feeling.
What was it like?
I just felt like, I don't know, felt kind of warm. It's like, oh, there's some place I'm welcome all the time. This is nice.
Yeah, I remember the last time I had that step in a relationship, and it was like, the guy got like giddy about it. He was like, like, we were coming back from brunch, and I'm like, maybe I should get some stuff. And he's like, yeah, you should get a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna need a toothpaste and some shampoo and conditioner. That's the thing I like to get, is the conditioner. Boys don't often have conditioner at their place.
I have conditioner, but conditioner.
You need it with your hair, but a lot of men don't. They don't.
That makes sense.
They don't have nearly as much.
Yeah, but I don't know. They fucked, and she's in a bathrobe. That's really it here. There's a lot of scenes in this episode that are like, yeah, that happened, and that's really it there in this episode.
Yeah, they fucked it, for sure they did. And then are we back at the White House, or are we?
This is where Walter White records a podcast in his closet.
Yeah, he's in a closet talking on the phone with. Is it Jesse? Is he yelling with Jesse there?
Presumably he's talking with Jesse. It seems like someone gave Walt some money and Walt doesn't understand why, but he's going to get to the bottom of it. But it seems like it should have been Jesse's money.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Skylar invites him to join them for dinner. And we find out that, Walt is staying in the baby's room with the baby on a little, you know, foam mattress or whatever on the floor.
Classic, we're getting divorced shit.
Yes.
Yeah. I assume.
I don't know.
It's similar to my parents. That was weird. That was weird that I said that. I'm going to cut all that out.
No, it's not. I think that they're all unique. They're all special and unique.
Divorces are each a snowflake.
I wasn't sure if we could say snowflake. Can we take it back yet? I don't know.
Not use it, like, without any of the political connotations?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can say snowflake.
I feel like I've been avoiding saying it because I didn't want to, I don't know. These fucking, they take away all the things.
These people, they took the word cuck.
I like to make fun of cucks a lot, but
it's a fun word.
Took away this. I used to do this all the time to say.
She's doing the okay symbol, which is a white power signal, Meg, so maybe bring it back.
Doing
it.
I just was like, hey, okay, yay, okay. I used to
Whoa, okay, Meg's just throwing white power at me through the.
Don't.
Whoa. I know we talk about race sometime, but whoa, Meg.
I'm saying that they took it from me, that it used to not have those connotations, and now it does, and that's not fair. I don't like that.
Yeah. What else did they take? I don't know. A bunch of other stuff. Oh, red baseball caps.
Oh, God, did they ever. Yeah. Chick-fil-A, maybe? I don't know.
Every time I see Bart Simpson in his red baseball cap, I'm like, is that a MAGA hat? Hope not. I don't think he'd do that. But
I feel like there's other stuff they made. We can't like Kirstie Alley anymore. I don't know.
Is Kirstie Alley a Trump lady?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that. That stinks. I did like her.
I liked her on Cheers. Shoot. Now how are we going to watch Cheers again?
Cheers is one of my favorite shows. I think the next scene is the very silly campground scene.
Yeah.
Or the trailer park scene. You'll remember, listeners.
It's also horny.
It's another really sexy scene where Hank is on the hunt for an RV. It looks like he's maybe fishing. He's not as pared down as he was last episode. And he thinks he's got the one. And he sees two old people in their underpants playing cards.
I like the idea that this couple is like a retired couple that are spending their like golden years traveling the country, staying in their RV, and they're like, you know, their nightly ritual is just they strip down and play cards, like just before bed to hang out, you know?
Do you want to know a thing or two about the thespians that embodied these characters?
Do I have a choice?
Nope. They're billed as Ma Kettle and Pa Kettle, and I'm going to get Pa out of the way first. It's interesting. He's like a crew guy and a special effects guy, and he was on a little movie called Return of the Jedi as a puppeteer. Oh, that was pretty cool.
That's wild.
And the other lady, her name's Kathy Rose Center. She's like, she books. She's in a bunch of shit.
Did it say who he puppeted? He wasn't like Yoda or anything.
No, it just says puppeteer.
Okay.
Yeah, but she was in The Leftovers, she was in American Crime, she looks like she got started acting a little later in life, because her first credit's 2005, but she's an older lady, so good for her.
Good job.
Yeah, all right. Fuck. That's all of them, so that's, you're done. You're done hearing those, and your guys are done hearing that song.
So then we've got, in the morning, or I don't know what time it is when they were playing cards. Is it immediately the fallout of like, everything's cool, the guy was VA, he didn't mind that Hank was trying to find some bad guys and that all of that happened, like the cops are trying to smooth it over, or was there something in between?
No, I'm pretty sure it's like scream, 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 and then cut to the morning and Hank's explained everything and they're like, yeah. And then he finds out from Steve Gomez that Steve Gomez just took a job. in Texas.
Yes. I wasn't clear on this, so I guess it was that Steve was moving all the way to Texas. Yeah, I suppose it is.
How's that? Oh, and then we see Hank shower.
So wait, I have a question of point of order here. That means that after Hank gets shot, Steve feels so guilty he comes and moves back from Texas?
I think he comes up to see him when he gets shot, but like Steve's gone for like a long period of time between then and I think the next time we see him in season 4.
But yeah, I mean, but during he's like Hank isn't even on the job for the rest of the season after he comes up to visit him. So we wouldn't even know. And then he does come back, though. Like, so is it just, it was just like a temporary job? Like,
yeah, I think it's just a posting. Yeah, it's not like a permanent, like, I'm moving down to Texas.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. It's like a, yeah, I don't know. I think it's like a task force or something.
Damn.
I don't know. But yeah, no, we see, but Hank's in the shower, though.
Yeah. Hank, he comes home and he's like, I gotta wash this stink off of me. And Marie is like, is that you? I barely see my husband anymore. I would love to have a conversation with him. She knocks on the door and she goes, can I come in? And without even getting a response, just barges in. What if he had been on the toilet? That would have been just terrible to see. And
that's
he's already in his
thing.
Boxers.
Oh my God. Can I tell you a quick story of something that happened to me over the weekend, speaking of on the toilet?
Always.
That's embarrassing, but I want to tell someone slash tens of listeners this. So I was taking an online, like, I've been looking into, you know, getting some more marketable skills during quarantine, and I've been looking at some coding boot camps.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was in one for this one school, not going to name the school because of what happens. And there's about 35 people in the class, and I we had a bunch of breaks, and my mic was muted, and I got up and I, during a break, so no, presumably no one's looking at me. And I went and I took a shit in my bathroom. Watched a video for a little bit. I looked up, my camera's still on. You can see my bathroom in the back of it. And I'm pretty sure I took a shit on camera. And if someone was watching in that period of time, they would have seen me pull down my pants and take a shit. So that's out there.
Wow.
Yeah. They would have had to been watching one random participant during a 5-minute break.
Yeah.
But it's there. It's in the ether.
Well, I feel like it would have, you would have noticed because people would have probably made comments like on the chat, like, oh my God, look at that guy having a shit. He's taking a shit over there.
I think they would have been polite because it was a bunch of people just like, oh, what's coding like? Oh, let's try it out. And so they've been like, ugh. Bunch of weirdos on this call. I don't know. Anyway, now you all know. They got pretty scared.
Yeah, I would have a hard time coming down from that adrenaline / anxiety rush for the rest of the day.
Yep. And then I was like, because I don't know, my bathroom's in frame right now. You can see.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it was. There's the toilet.
Oh, that's the toilet.
Yeah,
that's
it's right there.
Right there, yeah.
Yeah, so, oops. And, anyway, so that's what happens when you get complacent in Zoom culture.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, so, soldiering forward after Hank. Oh, yeah, Hank takes a shower, and Marie is talking to him. While he's in the shower, and he's being kind of shitty with her because she's like, hey, you know, I forget how she knows that Gomez is, because he tells her that Gomez is moving down to Texas, and she's like, did you want that job, or did you not want that job? Are you leaning so hard into this RV thing because you really don't want to go because of what happened last time, which I think is the Tuco thing? And then he's like, just leave me alone. And he kind of is shitty and snaps at her. And she walks away while he's still actively yelling at her. And so.
Great move by her.
Yeah, that is kind of like probably the best piece of self-care she could do in that moment to look out for herself.
Yeah. And he has a kind of snarky line, be like, do I tell you what bibs to put on people before you nuke them? Because she's an x-ray technician, commonly known.
Yes.
Everyone knows that.
Now we do.
We do now for sure. Yeah. So I don't know. That was that. It's kind of a meandering first act. The next act opens with Waltz in Gus's office, and
he throws down the money very petulantly.
Yeah.
He's just like, look at this bag of money. It's in a Los Pollos Hermanos bag. What the fuck is this? And actually, a bit of this conversation was lost on me, so maybe you could run us through it.
Oh, yeah. Basically, he's like, let's see. It sounds like they bought some meth based on that Jesse made. But he made it using Walt's formula that Walt concocted and perfected. And even though Jesse made it, they paid both Walt and Jesse. And Walt's seemingly out of the game. And Jesse's like, why the fuck did you give him half my money? I did that. And Walt's like, you just did that. You want me back, baby. You want me back. And Gus is like, well, you said Jesse was good. So we, took Jesse. And they're trying to kind of play to his ego a little bit.
Yeah, because Gus even says it's more or less the same. And he's like, more or less? And he cannot fathom that Jesse could be capable of anything without him, essentially.
Yeah. And then they drive and we get our first look at the super lab.
That is a meth super lab. That is our first time seeing it. And yes, we got a good look at it.
It's a major set piece going forward for two seasons. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's a, I've seen the introduction and the destruction of said meth lab. So very exciting stuff here.
They hide it under a laundromat.
Yes. I hadn't really understood that there was a stairwell underneath the one machine. It's very like, I don't know how to put it other than like kind of how sometimes they like have elaborate trapdoors in like mad scientist's house or something like that. It seems like that Gale had just recently gotten a delivery of all these nice pieces of equipment, and Walt was super impressed by their setup, and it seemed like he was almost giddy at the idea of being able to cook there.
Yeah, there's some creepy like carnival music playing.
I didn't notice that.
It was like I don't know. It's like, go look it up, but it's like there's like creepy like I don't know. I can't sing it. But it's there. And Walt's like, the answer's still no, and then Gus basically is just like, you're not a fucking man. Be a man. Like in so many words, that is what he says.
Yeah, he's like, What do you think you do wrong? You did nothing wrong. You're always gonna be a man. You always have to provide for your family. And he's like, no, I got my family made meth go away, or my meth made my family go away. And he's like, your kids are always going to be your kids. You're always going to need to provide. You got to be a fucking man. And Walt goes like, huh. He doesn't really give him a yes or no in that moment, right?
Yeah. He's just like, all right, well, let me think it over. do you guys have a 401k? I don't know. Yeah, he offers him $3 million for 3 months of his time. That's the other big thing.
That's a great rate. And he's like, I just need 200 pounds of meth a week through this. You make your own hours, whatever. Give me my meth.
Which later becomes open-ended, as we will find out in future episodes.
Not that many episodes in the future, even.
Yeah, not that. It's like three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess, after that, it's Skylar's... Yeah, there's another... Ted's in the shower again. And this time, Skylar doesn't like the warm floors.
Yeah. It is weird. She puts on a towel because maybe it's too hot. Maybe he just rocked her world so much that it's too warm. Maybe she's flush from it. Is this right before? Is this the one where she's like waiting outside in the car and Marie calls and you can tell?
I actually missed that. No, sorry. There's another. I don't know. She's about to go fuck Ted and she talks to Marie on the phone for a little bit.
And Marie is obviously struggling with how Hank is treating her.
But she's also babysitting.
Yes.
So
that the mom can go and get
Get just fucked.
I am so surprised. Like 3 months after having a baby, and maybe sooner, that baby is pretty young to take up having an affair. I would have not, maybe I personally wouldn't have felt comfortable showing like a new person my body like that close.
Really? How long does it take to, it's probably a personal question. I don't know. How long does it take to heal up for like, or like, I don't know, be back to normal? Is that a, oh God, oh, all this is bad.
So I'd say that like postpartum recovery takes a couple months. And I don't know, like just like that takes like 2 months maybe. And then like you're large, I was larger than I wanted to be for years afterwards. And it was like, just because my body was like, in case you have more babies, let's keep a little meat on you. And it was, there was like nothing I could do about it essentially.
Shit.
It's weird though, because like when you're nursing, your body's like, we'll just hold on to some of this. And then like for a little bit afterwards, it's like, well, you never know. And then at almost unilaterally, like within a month at some point, like exactly like 4 years after the fact, it was like, okay, I guess we're done here. And I dropped like a ton of weight out of nowhere with no changes. So it's, the body's weird, but I would imagine that would have, maybe Skylar's just wildly more confident, or Ted was like, I've just always needed you, but that would have been a hard thing for me to do, you know?
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, babies are so scary. Okay. Oh, everything about them.
Yeah, babies are difficult. You really just have to like pray to God you get through the first couple months, and then they get a little, pretty fun.
But, yeah, they seem a little more like resilient.
Yeah.
After 6 months.
And then they get to be like 10 and they eat like a whole pizza in one sitting, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's wild. You used to only eat just like one little Gerber baby thing, and now you eat like a whole pizza. Wow.
Wow. Wow. The human life.
I think Avery did just eat a whole pizza. Wow.
Avery just ate a whole pizza?
Do you want me to ask?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Avery? Yeah? Can you come here really quick?
Are you going to get her on mic?
You think I shouldn't?
No, do it. No,
okay. When you ate the pizza just now, how many pieces did you have? Did you have pretty much like a whole pizza? More than half? Way to go.
That's not a whole pizza.
But it's still a lot. There's still a lot of pizza. She said more than half. That's still a lot of pizza. She didn't specify how much more than half. She might be playing coy. Like, I don't know. Maybe more than half, maybe a whole pizza. I'm not sure. I'd say at least 2/3 of a pizza.
Wow. That's a lot of za. I love it. I did that not that long ago on New Year's Eve.
A whole frozen pizza or like a whole Papa
John's? Whole like ordered pizza.
Wow.
Yeah.
Throughout awesome. Like 6 hours or how quickly?
Throughout like 3 hours.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think like 3 slices of pizza is a lot of pizza for me. I don't think I could do much more than that.
It's my favorite food. I could eat it for hours and hours and hours.
That's
I love
great.
It.
Yeah.
Love it.
Anyway, Skylar, yeah. She had sex. She's good with herself. She's a happy, confident woman who's proud of her body.
There's a scene. We don't need to talk about it that much. She's eating dinner with Walt, and Walt's like, can I touch the baby? And she goes, yeah, touch the baby. And it seems like maybe he wasn't allowed to touch the baby for a while. Okay. I don't know. We're trying to rush through. There's some of that. I was like, we don't need to talk. There's so many little scenes in this fucking episode.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Important scene. Which is they're at the DEA field office, and it's Gomez is getting like his promotion party.
Oh, and yes. And simultaneously, Hank is being that dipshit that's still working during the party. And he's like, yeah. I can't find any more. There's only this one sheet of DMV registered early 80s RV registered in New Mexico. And I'm at the bottom of it, and I need more. And then his assistant walks by and he goes, baby, please, I need a little bit more. I need a little taste. And she goes, come on, just have a party. And he goes, fine. And then he marches out and is racist at Steve Gomez, objectively pretty nice character. It's it's weird to see.
Yeah, he says bean speak is what he refers to Spanish as.
And then he gives him a little bust of just a Mexican guy. And he's like, don't forget who the enemy is or something like this.
That, I think, is like a callback to something, but we'll find out, I guess. But Yeah, the I don't know. They make racist jabs at each other.
How? You could never do that now.
Yeah, you couldn't. I don't know. Different time.
As long as we agree that you can't do that now, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. The mid-2000s were wild. Yeah, fuck. I don't know. Think about what the 70s was to, like, us as kids. It's just a different time.
Yeah, that's true.
People doing blow all over each other all the time.
That's true.
It's the mid-2000s is now.
Okay, so that was kind of the whole point of that scene, except at the end, his assistant was like, you were right, there's one more. And mm-hmm. then I think he goes to the RV's house, the owner of the RV's house, and is like, hey, I'm looking for this RV. Where is it? And she's like, oh, it was stolen. He's like, why didn't you report it as stolen? I know everything. And she goes, okay, fine. I didn't want him to get in trouble. My son was like a bad kid or hung out with the bad crowd, but he wasn't a bad kid. And we find out that, what's Combo's first name? It's not Charles. It's
Aaron Kombalowski.
What's his real last
name?
Aaron Kombalowski.
I don't remember. I think Ortega is his last name. Christian Ortega.
Okay, yes. And so he goes, his mother allows Hank to go through his room, and there he sees a picture of Combo and Jesse from the strip club night.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they let you take pictures in a strip club back then with a fucking disposable camera.
Yeah, they super wouldn't now.
Yeah.
And they probably shouldn't have. Like, they probably wouldn't have if they weren't in, like, the champagne room.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that's how the episode ends. We skipped over
some
stuff. Oh, no, I like that. I like when we just pick a storyline, we just go wrap that up. And then Combo has a sick room. He has, like, an Xbox 360 and laundry on the floor.
Yeah. He even had a bag of combos by his stuff.
What's a combo?
You know, like, a combo is, like, one of those... I know combos is, like, there's, like, a pretzel outside and then, like, a pizza filling inside.
Oh, those.
Or just, like, sometimes cheese or something, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't care for... Most pretzel-based snacks are just not my... I don't think they're gross, but they're just not up my alley. I would never gravitate towards them.
That's fair. Yeah. I definitely... They haven't been, like, a staple in my life, but I definitely got them on road trips at summer camp.
Yeah. I'm much more of a Lay's potato chips.
Ooh, I like
Cheetos.
Cheeto?
Yeah, that's what I like. Pretzels just feels like a shitty version of all those things.
Hmm.
But anyway, sorry. Back at the White household, Skylar found a duffel bag full of cash.
Oh, I did skip over a lot of stuff. Yes, she did. And she's like, well, look at all this money. And then she's in an office I later deduced was her... lawyer's office, and the reason mm-hmm. I was confused was because she was treating her lawyer like a therapist, and I don't know, like, what the lawyer's like, why are you talking to me about this stuff?
That scene would have been weird if the lawyer wouldn't have called her out for that behavior.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing that people do. They say, like, be careful not to treat your lawyer like your therapist because they're very expensive.
That's weird. You don't really see Skylar do that too often, where she is kind of just, like, speaking out of greed, it looks like, a little bit.
Well, I think that, like, it was a weirdly acted scene. I felt like, to me, I didn't understand her motivations here. Mm-hmm. Was she looking for permission to take some of the money? Was she just, like, wanted to let somebody know she found it? Like, what did you think?
Yeah, it seems like this lawyer has been pressuring her to maybe, like, just spill the beans on Walt. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you can have your kids. You could... I don't know. You'd win everything in the divorce. He'd go to jail. Do it.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to. It seems like maybe this is the seed of the idea for her, where it's like, well, maybe I can make this work and we can work together on this. Because I think that's where it kind of starts. And
gotcha. I guess I don't even know where she... is this the first time she realizes how much he makes, I guess? I mean, I don't know if you can answer it, but...
I can't answer that, but I think maybe just looking at it alone kind of trips something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But then when she gets home, there's some papers in the crib.
And the money's gone and all of his stuff. And initially I thought he moved out because he didn't like the idea that she went through his shit. But then when you realize he accepts Gus's offer to cook meth, That's probably why he moved out, because he knew there must have been some house rules, like, is you live in my house, you don't cook any meth or whatever.
And then the next episode opens up with him in his new condo, and he's like, I'm gonna shove so much child support up your ass. Like, he said, remember that intro?
Yeah. He's like, you better just buckle up, sister, because you are gonna get everything covered. You are not spending a dime on these kids, you know.
Yeah. And so I forget, now I'm trying to remember when exactly Skylar is like, no, I help out now. But
well, because she says in the one thing, like, let me be your bookkeeper. I'm a bookkeeper. Let me be a part of this. I don't know. It's just so weird because, like, had they just, Skylar just been a bookkeeper, had this duffel bag full of cash, Walt kind of fucked off and did his own thing. She could have lived comfortably with that money forever. Like, just idly paying for, you know, their dinners and clothes and cash, things that they wouldn't be able to track, and everything else on the credit card, and just lived in the same house. It seems like it would have been fine. Like, why did everybody so fucking greedy in this show, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I having just a bag of cash forever seems great.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it would be just the best fucking thing in the world. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, then the only other scene we have left is Saul's office.
Yes, I think we kind of missed one episode or one scene in Saul's office earlier, but we kind of got the gist of it with the call regarding the bag of cash. So yeah, this scene, Saul is telling Jesse, like, hey, please stop escalating fights with Walt. That's no good, and that's not going to get you anywhere. And he goes, like, I'll do what I want. And then Walt shows up, and he kind of is just lording the fact that there's all this, he has all this money, right? Or
yeah, but he gives Jesse back his money, and Jesse's like, yeah, goddamn right, you gave me back my money. He's like, the last money you're ever gonna fucking make, because they hired me, bitch. And yeah, and then Saul quickly jumps ship, and he's like, let me launder it for you.
Oh, yes. And he does that right in front of Jesse. And he's like, oh, 17%, 12%, 10%. You know what? 5%. Fine. I'll launder it for 5%, which is still $150,000 for, or 3 months worth of work. So I don't understand what the problem is. Jesse or Walt is, or I don't understand why Saul is being so greedy himself.
But also, Saul has a drawer full of Xanax he gets from a Vietnamese masseuse who gives him happy endings. Lest we forget, he talks about that very briefly at the beginning of the scene.
Yeah, I think he's got some type of fetish, because this isn't like the first. He seems to always bring up like Vietnamese masseuses and like establishments and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
No, he might have a fetish. Who knows?
Yeah, it's definitely a penchant and a heavy leaning towards, I suppose.
Yeah.
I think we can agree with that.
Yeah, for sure. And then Jesse breaks Walt's windshield with a cinder block.
This has happened to me before, but it was just the passenger window, not a windshield. Somebody picked up a big slab of like broken off curb and threw it into my car and stole some change.
Were you in it?
I was not. I was inside the Mexican restaurant that had the... I was in the parking lot of the Mexican. I was in the Mexican restaurant. It had a parking lot. That's where the car was. And it was cold winter night. And my daughter was only like 18 months old then. So it was a real bummer when that happened. Aww. Yeah.
Well, guys, don't throw shit through Meg's car.
Please don't.
All right. Oh, Meg, what grade do you give this episode?
I like this one.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think I give it like an A-.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
I think what I like about this one a B+. Is there's like a lot of meandery little side quests. It's pretty self-contained. It's not super adventure heavy or anything, but there's something about seeing like all the horny people. I like a horny people.
Yeah, a lot of exposed skin in this episode. That's fun to watch always.
I think trying to see Hank do his thing. I haven't really seen, or I like to see Hank do his thing. I like to see him be good at his job and like piece things together. There's something rewarding about seeing Hank like work hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that we got to see people both go into a shower and exit a shower, which is something you don't see. You just kind of see people in the shower a lot.
Yeah.
And so it was nice watching people, I don't know, grab the towel, cover their balls.
So true.
Yeah, well, The Ringer ranks this as, do you want to try?
This is a low one. I think it's in the 30s. Is it like 37?
57.
Oh man, I'm really bad at this.
You got the seven right. So yeah, it's 57, and I don't know. It's fine. I like it. I'm being hard on it. This episode's good. It's just, you know, it's just kind of there. The lab, they bring in the lab. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. These transition episodes are like, this is full of side quests. Nobody grows or changes in any real way. And there's no impending danger. But it still serves a purpose, you know?
Yeah. And it's our friends, and it's fun to hang out with your friends.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's a good spot to wrap her up.
All righty.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I guess right. Until next time.
Next time.
A mighty fine Heisenberg
to you, fair listeners.
Goodbye. Bye.